They do it through the fourth dimension, the mystic announced. Isn't that true, Gwendolyn?
Quite true, dear, the numerologist agreed. Oh, here they come now. It will be an odd number. You'll see.
You're so learned, dear.
Said the skeptic. The native who was assisting our ship's excursion host raised his arms and spread his palms for silence.
Please, will you all listen? Maururu Roa. Thank you very much. The high priest and priestess will now pray the gods to make the fire safe for the villagers. I ask you to remember that this is a religious ceremony, very ancient. Please behave as you would in your own church, because...
An extremely old Kanaka interrupted. He and the translator exchanged words in a language not known to me, Polynesian, I assumed. It had the right liquid flow to it. The younger Kanaka turned back to us.
The high priest tells me that some of the children are making their first walk through fire today, including that baby over there in her mother's arms. He asks all of you to keep perfectly silent during the prayers to ensure the safety of the children. Let me add that I am a Catholic. At this point, I always ask our Holy Mother Mary to watch over our children, and I ask all of you to pray for them in your own way, or at least keep silent and think good thoughts for them. If the high priest is not satisfied that there is a reverent attitude, he won't let the children enter the fire. I've even known him to cancel the entire ceremony.
There you have it, Gerald, said the authority on everything in a third balcony whisper.
The build-up. Now the switch, and they'll blame it on us, he snorted.
The authority, his name was Cheevers, had been annoying me ever since I had joined the ship. I leaned forward and said quietly into his ear,
If those children walk through the fire, do you have the guts to do likewise?
Let this be a lesson to you. Learn by my bad example. Never let an oaf cause you to lose your judgment. Some seconds later, I found that my challenge had been turned against me, and somehow, all three, the authority, the skeptic, and the well-traveled man, had each bet me 100 that I would not dare walk the fire pit, stipulating that the children walked first. Then the translator was shushing us again, and the priest and priestess stepped down into the fire pit, and everybody kept very quiet. And I suppose some of us prayed. I know I did. I found myself reciting what popped into my mind. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Somehow it seemed appropriate. The priest and the priestess did not walk through the fire. They did something quietly more spectacular and, it seemed to me, far more dangerous. They simply stood in the fire pit, barefooted, and prayed for several minutes. I could see their lips move. Every so often, the old priest sprinkled something into the pit. Whatever it was, as it struck the coals, it burst into sparkles. I tried to see what they were standing on, coals or rocks, but I could not tell, and could not guess which would be worse. Yet this old woman, skinny as gnawed bones, stood there quietly, face placid, and with no precautions other than having tucked up her lava-lava so that it was almost a diaper. Apparently, she fretted about burning her clothes, but not about burning her legs. Three men with poles had been straightening out the burning logs, making sure that the bed of the pit was a firm and fairly even footing for the firewalkers. I took a deep interest in this, as I expected to be walking in that pit in a few minutes, if I didn't cave in and forfeit the bet. It seemed to me that they were making it possible to walk the length of the fire pit on rocks rather than burning coals. I hoped so. Then I wondered what difference it would make, recalling sun-scorched sidewalks that had blistered my bare feet when I was a boy in Kansas. That fire had to be...